is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk. We're glad you're here. I was talking in the last hour about faith-based initiatives, and then we had Congressman Jason Smith on to talk a little bit more about the aftermath of the Big Beautiful Bill and what's next. But I will say that, and I'm part of the problem. Could I do more? Yep, I could. I think I do a lot, but I definitely think I could do more. We have lost, I think the conservative movement has lost the impetus to solve the problems that they don't want government to solve.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Like, without solving them on our own.
If the problems persist, you know, how much marketing does a church do to bring people in when, every church is different, but how much ministry, how much outreach are you doing at the same time? Because that could potentially bear the fruit of your labor 10 times over a marketing budget. If you're looking around and you see people who are struggling and driving to and from downtown St. Louis every day, there's a tent city that's right there on the Stan Musial Bridge off-ramp to downtown St. Louis and Tucker Boulevard. Now, my understanding is that these people are oftentimes people who have said, I don't want to go to the places that are willing to help because I want to make decisions in my life that eliminate my ability to accept help from some of these places. I think that the private sector needs to step up in their willingness to support anybody who is willing to seek out help. But I also think, in kind, if the help is being provided and it doesn't have to come from the government, that's not to say that the government can't step in and also provide assistance. But it should be secondary to nonprofit organizations that see needs and have the heart of the community to come together to help assist those. That one story that came out, is it Nevada, where this man was sexually approaching, he's been convicted of, or I think he had a conviction before. Was it Brad's story that he sent?
Yeah, Brad, that you sent that this morning.
With that crazy looking guy?
Crazy guy, okay. who's back out. Wasn't charged with anything. He had attempted an abduction, I think.
And that they said that he's not fit to stand trial, so they're just letting him go.
Yeah, that's frightening. No. That is a frightening story.
The New York Post reported on it. He's a registered sex offender. And here, I'll just read a little bit from the top line of the story. Prosecutors in Colorado, not Nevada, sorry, Nevada. Prosecutors in Colorado plan to drop charges against a registered sex offender accused of trying to kidnap a child from an elementary school because he was found incompetent to stand trial. The 18th Judicial District Attorney's Office, which covers Arapahoe County, including Aurora and Littleton, informed Fox 31 on Friday that it intends to dismiss charges against Solomon Galligan. The 33-year-old faces one count of attempted kidnapping. Reminding you, yes, he's a registered sex offender. Attempted kidnapping after he tried to take an 11-year-old boy during recess at Black Forest Hills Elementary School in April of 24. Aurora police previously reported that Galligan is a registered sex offender with his registration tied to the Pueblo County Sheriff's Office. How is this, like, don't we have to have a society that has both ends of the spectrum? The community pouring itself into helping people who need help. But if people have, A, chosen to be beyond the generosity of the community that wants to provide them the help that they need because they want to live a lifestyle that is dangerous to themselves and therefore potentially makes them dangerous to the people around them, or people like this who are pretty clearly mentally disturbed, disabled, is it crazy to say that this person needs to be institutionalized?
No, it's crazy to see that and think that you should just leave him alone.
Like, what kind of rights does this sex offender who's trying to kidnap 11-year-olds off of recess playgrounds, what kind of rights does he have?
Yeah, it's not alleged. This guy is a sex offender. They know he was trying to abduct children from a recess, mm-hmm. from a playground. And they're like, meh, I don't know.
After his arrest, Galligan underwent a mental competency evaluation that determined he was unfit to stand trial. As a result, prosecutors claim they have no choice but to drop the charges.
No choice? Why? Why do you not have a choice in this matter?
I am pro-choice in this matter. Galligan's guilt is not the issue for prosecutors, obviously. The alleged crime was captured on video that showed a man chasing after and grabbing at a student as the other children ran away. Dante White, whose child encountered the suspect, said it's super scary to watch. Especially seeing the perpetrator, the pictures of him. I would be freaked out if that guy touched me. It was an attempted kidnapping. This individual is not somebody who presents himself as an individual who's taking care of himself.
That is a nice way to put that.
He looks, his teeth are all messed up, kind of like a meth mouth kind of a situation or whatever. He's not clean and put together. You would not be like, hey, I got to run to the bathroom. Will you watch my kid for a minute?
He looks like he's wearing makeup on The Walking Dead. I mean, he looks like this is not a living person. And you go, let's just put him back out there and give him another shot.
He's not competent to stand trial. Like, he's not competent to be on the streets with people. He's kidnapping kids.
Why if he's not competent to stand trial to like defend himself, the court, the state, the district should still be able to make the case that he's a danger to society, mm-hmm. and he should be institutionalized.
That's the best case scenario.
I mean, when you talk about locking people up, there's a sensitivity to that that has, you know, gotten a little more heightened maybe in the last few decades. But why are we protecting this right, this man's rights, over the rights of this 11-year-old child, over the rights of the parents who are sending their children into the school to send this child to play at recess on this playground where this man's rights, due to his incompetence, trump the rights of this child to be safe and secure? You let him go. I don't understand that. The information obtained through this investigation has led us to decide that we need to make an administrative change at Black Forest Hills. Yes, thank you. We are making that change now so that we can move forward with the final weeks of the school year in a positive and productive way. The whole story is really just is he going to be put in? Is he going to be incarcerated for something else? Is he going to, the recidivism of a lot of these cases ends up being a very costly endeavor for communities, risking a lot in the midst of it. The school district told Fox 31 that reforms have been implemented since the kidnapping attempt. Well, that's refreshing, including security protocol enhancements, increased security presence, prioritizing student mental health support by offering options for indoor recess as an alternative for safety and comfort. Because guys like these, the prosecutors say they have to let them go.
Yeah, it's about his safety and comfort. It's really just an indictment on American society that we would look at this story, especially look at the picture of that guy, and go, okay, I know the facts. I know that this guy is already a registered sex offender. He tried to kidnap a kid. He's a pedophile. But let's consider it from his perspective. That's a problem. We should not be... I'm not saying you should never have compassion. Thinking about something from somebody else's point of view is great. But you also have to be smart enough and have a backbone enough that once you do that, to go, yes, but here's the line. Yes, I'm looking through it, his eyes, and his eyes are corrupted. So we need to do something about it.
This is common sense. Yeah. We're so far on the other side. Like, the common sense contingent in this country has been quiet for so long because they were being nice.
Yeah.
And the only way to combat this is to, you're going to have to become, I'm not even going to say it's not nice, very direct. If common sense isn't permeating these situations on their own, then you're going to have to speak very directly in all of these situations to say, that man needs to not have access to children anywhere. He can't be trusted, obviously. We have the video. All right, let's take a break. Ethan is out today, but we are going to cover for him and do some local news when we come back. So keep it right here. A reminder, you can send your suggestions to title Ethan's local and sports news segment, which we usually do at about 2:20 each day. If you go to the Odyssey app, right there when you follow 97.1 FM Talk, there's a microphone right there. Record it into there, and your voice might be featured in one of the intros for Ethan's local news and sports. We'll cover for him when we come back. Don't go away.
Keep it here. A better show is coming up next. For now, this is the Annie Fry Show.
All right, all right.
All right, what?
A little too much leniency there, Mr. Wiggins.
Well, I haven't played the Open yet. Let me remind, before I play this Open, let me remind everybody. All this week, these are all Opens that you guys suggested. So I didn't write any of these.
And
nobody
by you
on the show
guys,
did. It, listeners and people who either message me on Twitter or message the show through the YouTube page, these are all your suggestions.
Listener requests to name Ethan's segment.
And I sent them all off to Big Voice Guys, so they're very official. So here you go.
Hold, 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 hold up. Check it out.
Sports and local.
Handsome Hannaford with the news.
Why are you clarifying that this is not yours?
I want to make that clear.
And why are you doing it the day he's not here?
I chose that one for the day he's not here.
I see.
Was the most complimentary.
Handsome Hannaford with the news.
They're really mostly complimentary in general.
Well, now you know how people feel about him.
Yeah, I do, and I don't love that. And so I'm going to leave for the next few days. Let you guys do it.
We'll miss you.
Thank you.
What do you got, local?
Yeah, let me pull mine up here. This is about Six Flags. I love my theme parks. Six Flags St. Louis will reactivate their chaperone policy on July 17th.
That's so why we can't have nice things, kids.
Guests 15 years old and younger will need to be accompanied by a parent, guardian, or adult who is at least 21 years old to enter or remain in the park. The policy will be in place from... It's not the whole day, though. 4 p.m. to park close. I really don't think this is that crazy.
Well, they can't get there by themselves.
You can't get there by yourself. Although, I do remember...
They should like, have a chaperone ticket, though.
At 14... It's a good idea. At 14 or 15 years old, I think I was going to Six Flags St. Louis by myself pretty often. I know by 16 I was because we were driving there.
There was nothing like going to Six Flags in high school with your friends.
It was the best.
I remember the smell of the asphalt.
I remember standing in line... for Batman, and just talking with my friends about which girls we were going to go talk to.
Did you talk to him?
I don't think so.
Like rando girls at Six Flags?
Yeah, rando girls.
What were you going to do after that?
We had no real end game. It was just about the thrill of the hunt.
Is that standard operating procedure?
Oh, when you're 15? Absolutely. If you can muster up... enough guts to go talk to a girl.
What does that look like from the outside looking in? Because I, having gone to Six Flags with both mixed company but also girl groups in high school, would be talking about the boys that we would see. Duh. It's girls are not great at being discreet when that's happening. And because there's always that one girl who's like, I'm going to go talk to him right now. And all the other girls are like, do not do that right now. Like, we've got another 45 minutes of snaking through this line. We're going to have to pass them 72
times.
Well,
that's very true. That's very true.
Everybody has that one girlfriend in the girl group that's like, well, I'm not scared. What about, like, when the boys
the guys
are having,
like those girls, by the way.
She knows that. She's already figured that out. But sometimes, not always, that girl is interested in different things. However, when the boys are in line and they're talking about girls, is it visible from the outside looking in your mind that could girls identify, oh, those guys are talking about us? Are you trying to be cool and play cool and not be seen, or do you want to be seen being seen?
Gosh, I don't know. That's a good question. Because if you're not really going to do anything about it, you probably just want to be seen. You probably want to let them know that you're talking about them a little
bit. So the less committed you are to seeing it through, the more you just want to be seen.
Yeah. Yeah. And
can we be honest?
I think we are.
At 15, all you want is to be seen.
That's the end
of the game.
Yes.
Ball in the end zone. She looked at me.
You want a tiny morsel of affirmation from anybody.
And the affirmation, what are we affirming?
Just that you're cool. And you exist, and are potentially dateable. Not that we want to date.
It's a lot about the guy. It really doesn't matter as much about...
Well, I would think to the girl, it matters to the girl. But no. When you're talking about affirmation, you are definitely talking about self-centeredness.
A 15-year-old boy, I mean, I don't think it's an active participation in a self-centeredness. I think it's just the way biology is. But there are not many long game thoughts at 15 for young men. So girls are thinking the long game. We've
that
played MASH, and we know we're going to live in a mansion, and we're going to be a doctor, and you're going to have two cats.
That's crazy.
Nothing happens there either, though. That's the conversation with the girls. He's cute, and you know, talking about those types of things, what boys we like or would like to be a girlfriend to. But there's nothing in between that conversation and your inevitable marriage. Like the whole in between time.
But
you don't really think about that.
Is the conversation itself, a group of 4, 5, 15-year-old girls at Six Flags, are they standing there going, oh, that guy's kind of cute. I could see myself marrying him and having a small bungalow. Like, is it that far out? Is that the conversation?
That's not this 15-year-old Six Flags Q conversation.
If I had a garden in the back, we'd have some tomatoes.
I don't like tomatoes. But the only thing I can say is what the conversation the girls are having is not about being acknowledged and being seen, because that affirms me. There is a much more mental commitment to the lovely thought of the picturesque relationship that would ensue. It won't ensue. That's not happening.
They want to be romance.
It's you're in a rom-com. Boys. Young men are just like, she thinks I'm hot. She's totally into me. Like, girls don't say that ever. He's totally into me. Never. Not at that age.
Even when they're wearing glasses and they're clumsy, but underneath they're pretty hot.
Especially then.
Right, was it for you?
She's all that is was my it, favorite movie.
Was it the mindset that she's into me? Like, she's hot, I'm pretty hot, she's into me? Or was it like, she's pretty hot? And did it stop there?
Well, I mean, it didn't have to keep going. But if you wanted to, you know, pursue it in any way, you're basically looking for her to just like you, and then nothing after that.
Well, like, for me, it was like, I'm gonna go talk to her, and I would tell myself she'll probably say yes, but in the back of my brain I'm like, there's no way she'll say yes.
Well,
and then,
say yes to what? You see her in the Six Flags? You're gonna ask her out in the Six Flags line?
Maybe.
We you are not. That's the opposite of what you've described yourself as in high school all the time.
I'm just I'm just telling you how this plays out in my brain. I'll go ask her out. She'll probably say no.
Okay.
But did you ever ask her out?
Girls that I have asked out probably most of the time said no. The girl in the Six Flags, the proverbial girl.
Did you
girl
do this at Six Flags or anywhere like Six Flags?
At places like Six Flags, at the mall and stuff like that, I've asked girls out. And
did you really?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, who is this?
Yeah, who is this guy now?
What are you talking about?
Where did you come from?
The same spot I've always been.
No. This is Glasses Brad.
This is Glasses Brad.
This is Glasses Brad, 15 years old.
Chunky Glasses Brad.
You're just walking up to girls at the mall like, hey,
Not a ton of them, maybe two or three in my entire lifetime.
Okay, but you did it.
But I did do it because I have to do it, because if I don't do it, then she's definitely not going to say yes.
Yeah, but also, if you don't do it, she's definitely not going to say no. That's my understanding of most young men.
Right, but I had to try at least once.
I feel like boys that age are like, she's totally into me. Oh, why don't you ask her out? I don't need to ask her out.
Can't tell you. I think I've said this before, but how naive I was to like male-female relationship, anything. I was still doing the 15-year-old boy thing in college.
It's not surprising. Most young men are.
Freshman in college. Probably only 18 years old, though.
Is it safe to say that men have two gears? I have no interest in a marriage, and okay, well, let's get married.
No, I think it's safe to say men have one gear. It's the first one. and then they just sort of end up fighting themselves.
You have one gear that comes with a side of submission?
Yeah, I think so. You just kind of slow that gear down a bit.
It's like one gear, and I'll do whatever I can to keep it in that gear.
I mean, Jared and I dated for 3.5 years before we got married, but we got married at 23, so we were young. Charlie was born when I was 25, young mom. But when we were dating, this is hand to God, God's honest truth when I say this. And I've told him this, and it freaked him out so much. I think he was reconsidering some things when I said this. When I met him the first time, I was instantly attracted to him. I remember where he was standing in Wild Country the first time we met. We had mutual friends meeting there. It wasn't a rando at Wild Country. This is elevated from rando at Six Flags to rando at Wild Country.
Did he have a funnel cake at least, though?
No.
One of those invisible dogs.
Was he wearing a halter top?
I don't know what we're talking about here. You guys done?
Six Flags stuff.
Yeah.
Wild Country! I immediately saw him. I was immediately attracted to him. And I felt like this is like movie stuff, but I felt like the world stood still for a second when I met him. Truly.
Wow.
And I remember saying to my girlfriends that I was at Wild Country with, like, he's cute. I like him. I don't know if I'll ever date him, but I'm just keeping that one in mind. And I don't think we dated for a year after. Like, it took us probably a year before we ever started dating. And we dated other people in that meantime of before we got together. But I feel like I 100% knew, like, that's the one. And I can say that because we've been married now since 2007, so almost 18 years. With that being said, when we were dating, he dumped me one time for a weekend. We could talk about that later, whether or not it was an official dumping or not. We were about 8-9 months into the relationship. I think he kind of started getting in that, okay, I'm going one way or the other here.
Christmas, he was still in gear one.
Christmas was, I don't know that there's another gear. That's where I'm getting at. Christmas was upon us, which means families and just, you know, you're going to another step. And I think he kind of had a moment and he had it. That was fine. We got back together after that weekend. But it was kind of in my mind, like, we're obviously going to get married. This is going to be absolutely devastating if this takes a turn and we don't get married. But he did not rush into saying, I love you. I mean, we might have been together for 2 years before he said, I love you.
Only fools rush in.
Elvis. I know how people get you confused. Don't you think that's a long time? Yeah, I think we were together for years before he said, I love you. And I think he kind of reluctantly said it. I don't think that when he said it, he really wanted to say it.
Is that a long time? Let's talk about that over the next half hour.
Why?
It's a loaded question. It seems like it could be a long time, but I also understand.
Do you have like an experience with this?
No, I just don't.
Have you told your wife you love her?
I'm going back to the one gear thing, and it's a process. It's a process to get
there. I'm going to elaborate a little bit more on the other side of this break. Don't go away. And whatever Ryan's thinking about, I have no promises it's going to materialize into actual sentences on the other side. But you can wow us with your wisdom and insight next. Fair?
Fair.
Fair. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Rick says on our YouTube channel, my wife literally said if I hadn't asked her to marry her when I did, the next day she planned on dumping me. That's a good timing. Good timing or bad timing?
Wow.
I think it's good.
Yeah, I guess that's good. Although, you know, how'd the marriage turn out, I guess.
He says my wife, so.
so good.
I'm implying or understanding it to be current. We were talking about my husband. I wonder if you've messaged me. I forgot to look at my phone to see if he corrected me on anything. Nope, not yet. Might be incoming here now. But I think that I feel like we were over 2 years into our relationship before there were I love yous. And it wasn't something that, like, when it happened, that it was now like, you hang up. I love you. Like, no, you hang up. That never was a big deal to it. Is that unusual? What do you think about that?
Okay. It really depends on the personality of the guy. Because if the guy is impulsive, he's going to say it way too fast. And it doesn't mean much. I don't really know a ton of guys who are like that, but there are guys like that. The problem is the majority of guys are going to say it then under only one of two circumstances. One is they have really thought about this and they are ready to tell you this because they are actually in love with you. The other is very obviously trying to get at something out of you. So you really got to be careful because you don't know what the motive. You got to make sure that you know the motive of the guy. And that usually means, to your point, Annie, that this is something that should not come very quickly. It's something that should happen a little later after you've been dating for some time. If it happens too quick, you got the first personality who's too impulsive, or you got the second guy who's just trying to get something out of it.
He just messaged me. He just said...
He waited, so...
He says, I quote, "I was very guarded saying it."
See?
So I sent no poop emoji.
But didn't that mean more to you once he did?
Yeah. I remember thinking, like I said, I'm the cray cray person who saw him the first time and was like, I think I could marry him. And that wasn't, I hadn't had a serious boyfriend. I dated a lot of very nice boys and it's not to say anything about other people that I had relationships with in any negative way, but there wasn't a spark that was like, this is something extra. There is something different here. And I felt like initially when I met him that there was a spark there. There was something about him that was just instantly attractive to me. So then a year later when we started dating, I was like totally into it. He was into it. And we had a great relationship. We saw each other every day. But he just didn't say it. Okay, I'm going to read this live on the air, but this is probably BS because he sent some heart face emojis with it. I knew how important and meaningful it was. Didn't want to say it unless I knew I meant it. Dang it, that's good.
But that's the first time he's ever sent you heart emojis, and that's why it means so much, isn't it?
No.
He's never texted you heart emojis before.
But you're saying that like now. I should just agree with it, but that's not true. But he was super guarded by it. And, you know, relationships... We were raised with a generation that, you know, our grandparents' marriages would stay together even when they were not healthy to stay together, I think. Like divorce, probably, I don't know what the divorce rates are, but I know that in our lifetime, it's been much more likely that you will not make it in your marriage than that you will make it in your marriage. Let me think about this real quick before I say it. Yes. My husband and I, both of our parents, still happily married. All of our grandparents were married. There was no divorce. So I think we had very healthy examples of what a relationship should look like. And we both came from a place of faith. So we had the same sort of principles in our relationship before we were married. But I just think that what initiated this conversation was us talking about like when you've got a group of 15-year-old boys having a conversation about the group of something 10-year-old girls standing over there, what does it look like from the outside looking in and what is actually taking place in that conversation amongst those boys versus what's taking place amongst those girls? I think it's very, the intent is incredibly different. Girls are thinking about their future. Now, are they talking about, I think we'll have tomato plants in the backyard like you quipped before? No. But the context is future. The context is relationship. I don't think that those 15-year-old boys, I think that like if they have those thoughts that they would push them away very quickly if it came up. Like that's the antithesis of it. I think that the 15-year-old boys in the Six Flags queue are trying to be seen. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying that in a critical way at all. I just think that's the nature of the game. And if both sides wanted exactly the same thing right away, I don't think that attraction and chemistry would work the way it traditionally works out.
We would call it, right, Brad, we would call it peacocking. You just walk around kind of showing your tail feathers.
I mean, whenever I was 15, I didn't have a problem being seen. If I was anywhere in your peripheral, you saw me.
I don't know what we're talking about. Are we talking about bold and brash Brad who was just walking up asking chicks out left and right at the mall?
I don't know. There's two Brads now. I don't know which one. Yeah,
is this glasses? Is this Clark Kent or is this Superman?
I don't know. Which one is it, Tony Stark?
Brad?
Had to put the glasses on to hide my insecurities. Just hide right behind these. I'm a different person now.
Man.
This was Big Round Brad.
That's BRB.
Big Round Brad.
Big Round Brad was walking up and talking to people in the mall?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Were you carrying like a fudge round while you're doing it? Because that would have been a rock
Not
star
a fudge
move.
Round. It was one of those round lollipops.
With suspenders and a beanie?
What is happening?
The propeller on my hat, yeah.
Why?
No.
That doesn't attract women.
It didn't work. I wasn't good at it.
Did that ever work?
I mean,
you never got a date by doing that.
Were
you even trying to get a date?
Yes. It was a genuine effort to get a date.
Okay.
Just poorly executed.
I'm going to compliment Brad here and say that I bet he was an outlier in the group of those 15-year-old boys where he was maybe looking for something a little more substantive.
Maybe.
Hi, my name's BRB.
It stands for Big Round Brad. You can see it, I own it. Let's do this. Let's go see the Matrix.
If you can see it, I own it.
You can see it. I'm owning it. It's big round Brad.
That sounds like a John Cash song.
Oh, man. We need AI.
I was just going
to
say, can somebody get AI to write a Johnny Cash Big Round Brad song?
See those tiles on the mall floor? I walked that line just to see you. I'll put a ring on it, a ring of fire.
Big Round Brad.
Big Round Brad. Doom, doom, doom. Big Round Brad. Doom, doom, doom. He's coming for you. You're going to see him. Big Round Brad. That's more of a theme song. I don't think that's an old... You remember that old Western? They used to show it on MeTV in the afternoons?
No.
Big Round Brad. Doom, doom, doom. He killed every horse he got. That's what the show was.
These commercial breaks are too short, and I have to pee. I can't. You got to knock it off.
All right.
In conclusion, my husband messaged me again. He said, I knew once I said it, I was all in, and I wanted to be ready for that, too.
What a beautiful ending of that segment. Thank you.
What are you going to title this one?
I mean, Big Round Brad. The whole hour.
YouTube live chat poll. Is President Trump making a mistake in the Epstein case? Yes or no? All right, we'll be right back. Collaborate and listen. I sit back with my brand new invention. So the YouTube poll for today, is President Trump making a mistake in the Epstein case? Yes or no? We have 234 votes in. You got about 6 minutes to get your vote in. It is closer than most of our polls. So go weigh in and tell us what you think about the Epstein situation. It's kind of a hard one for me to judge whether or not to cover because, you know, listening to what Donald Trump said, there are a lot of other things that need to be discussed, but it's still a big deal to us. And when we, before the election, talked about all the conspiracies that were out there when it came to the assassinations, the Epstein files, the 2020 election, and what really happened with COVID, my vote of what I wanted to know the most information on was the Epstein files, because my understanding at the time, could have been a misunderstanding, is that the corrupt culture that we have as a society, we can't start to rectify it until we call these things out. So I'm still on that path. I still want to know the truth. I'm going to vote no in the fact that Trump's making a mistake, because my default is no until I'm certain it's a yes. But we'll get to the results of that here in about 6 minutes from now. Annie Fry YouTube channel in the live chat portion of the live broadcast right now to vote. We're talking a little bit about our relationships, 15-year-old boys and girls in line at Six Flags all the way to our marriages. Before we say the answer to this question, Ryan, I want you to predict in my relationship with my husband, with Brad's relationship with his wife, who's the most romantic in those relationships?
I would say both Jared and Brad are the most romantic in those relationships. Yep.
Who do you think, Brad, for Ryan's relationship and mine?
Ooh,
that are separate.
That one is tough. Ryan's relationship, I think it would be Katie. I think she would be more romantic. And your relationship, I think it's you. I think Jared's got a big romantic streak, but I think you're the most romantic in your relationship.
And I am going Mrs. Wiggins and I'm going to vote for Mrs. Range. She's very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. I'll just put that out there. All right, Ryan, who's the most romantic in your relationship?
Both of you chose my wife, and both of you are correct.
When Ryan says specifically around holidays like Valentine's Day and the anniversary, he's like, listen, here's my advice to you. Set the expectations as low as possible so you can always exceed them.
Yeah, but I'm really good at planning things. So I am able to execute romantic things, but I'm not a romantic.
So you should buy your flowers. Today.
Thank you for the reminder. I will do that.
If I tell you to buy them today, then you can buy them tomorrow, and then you can say that was your idea.
I'll buy them out of the dumpster and be like, look, I bought these a few days ago.
So we were right when it came to Mrs. Wiggins.
I got these a few days ago. I forgot to give them to you. They're all dead, but it's the thought that counts, right, honey?
Basically, can I get some credit?
Yeah.
Brad, who's the most romantic in your relationship?
It is definitely Mrs. Range. Terry is very much more romantic than me. Thoughtful. And it's not the big things. It's the little things that she constantly does that is just amazing. And I couldn't do it without her.
It's the little things that kill. Bush said that.
What? What?
The band?
Yeah, the band.
Okay.
Oh, I was like, which one?
Not the president's.
40 or
Gavin 41. Rossdale.
Bush, original Bush would be.
It was
39, right? Wasn't Clinton?
Wait, what?
40?
Oh, number of president. I'm like, that man is definitely older than 39, Annie. I don't know at this point. Count backwards. 45.
That's Bush 41.
44.
That was W.
43 was W, right?
43. 41 and 43.
Yeah, 41, 43.
That was what it was. Jared is way more romantic than me. I am not a romantic person.
But you like it, though. Just admit it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like being put on the spot at all.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to put you on the spot in public. He could put you on the spot out at a nice picnic.
Says you. That picnic that you're on is
checkered
one you
blanket.
Stole from somebody else. They're chasing after you across the park. And you're
like, Yogi Bear.
Hurry, wife. It's one of those new picnics.
They're
it's
away.
Called an on-the-move picnic. We got to run.
See what's in those picnic baskets? Right, Kitty?
Nah, I don't. I'm not really into that.
Me either. I am into stealing food, but not that.
Well, it's food.
Yeah, you got to steal your way into food.
You can eat that.
So you got a couple extra hush puppies over there.
No, those are not extra. Now, I don't, he does get me flowers randomly. Like if he's at the store and he sees flowers, like this is the thing. He goes to the store, he sees flowers, he thinks Annie would like those and he gets mm-hmm. them.
Are you saying you don't like them?
No, I love them.
You're romantic.
When I think of romantic things to do, you're talking about going on picnics. I do not want to go sit in a park on a blanket eating food off the ground.
I'm so romantic that I will sometimes feed grapes to homeless people on the benches. And I'm just like, you're beautiful inside and out.
Open up.
What's the matter with us? Do you like those? Legit, Ryan, do you, like, I think, I hate this. I think you and I are in the same, that we would just find too much humor in the situation that it kind of kills the mood.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
that's true.
I'm like, this isn't me. I love, obviously, spending time with him. I love, we have a lot of the same interests, so we can go golfing together on a date or whatever, But I would rather, much rather do that or travel somewhere or go to a baseball game or travel to another city, which is what we try to do to see the Cardinals play somewhere else, and do that. Is that considered romantic?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I would do that same kind of thing, but I would embarrass my wife because I'm so athletic. So we can't.
What?
I would love to do that, though.
What?
But I would whoop her so bad at golf.
Nobody's...
We tried to play hockey once. She is such a bad goalie.
You stand here.
Ripping clappers at her.
Oh, yeah. From the blue line. I was giving her an advantage. She still couldn't stop anything.
Brad, do you like the romantic stuff?
Well, the way you described, like just spending time with my wife, yeah, I like that stuff.
That's not how I describe romantic.
Well, you were saying, like, we go to, you know, baseball games and stuff like that together. Yeah, that, I mean, to me, that's more that's romantic stuff. I enjoy that stuff. I enjoy that
time. If you define that as romantic, then sure. But I just, I think romantic is, like, what you do early on, and then you get married. And I just don't call it that anymore. I don't know. If there are people listening right now who feel bad for Jared, just know... We're good. He gets it. We understand how to spend good time and quality time together. It makes me uncomfortable. I'm not there for it. I also think it's really funny. I don't know why romantic things are funny, but if I'm participating, I'm like, I just want to look at my husband and be like, you don't have to do this. I'm all yours. We're good. No? Yes?
I don't know. I'm the worst person to ask.
Stealing picnics. Is President Trump making a mistake in the Epstein case? 250 votes. 65% of y'all said he is making a mistake. Yes. Continue to see how this story develops and keep it right here. Brad Young filling in for Mark Reardon on The Mark Reardon Show. Coming up next.